Welcome, everyone. We're in a series called The Challenge of Storms. And today I want to talk to you about living in the goodness of God while you're going through some storms of life. Now, if you've been in the church for a while, you've probably heard the speaker or the leader say these words, God is good. And the congregation will shout back all the time. And then he'll say all the time, and then they'll say, God is good. But is that really true? Is God really good all the time? What about the times when you're in pain? What about the times when you're in conflict, or you're struggling, or you're depressed, or you're full of anxiety, or you're under attack? Is God really good all the time? And that's a big question that we need to answer. And we want to try to answer that today. And is God really good all the time? And how can I personally know that goodness when often I don't feel that goodness? Listen to what the psalmist said in Psalm 100, verse 5. This is the Living Bible. The Lord is always good, and He is always loving and kind, and His faithfulness goes on and on to each succeeding generation. Now, how could the psalmist say that? You know, that's not often the way I feel. How could he say that? Was his life so much different than my life or your life? You know, and I believe the answer is this. The answer is this. It was his perspective. It was the way he focused on life is the way that he saw his life. He was looking through probably a different lens than I, or maybe you have been looking through at times. You know, my wife has several pairs of reading glasses, and she usually buys a six-pack from Costco. And they're all over the house. Now, I've only got one pair of reading glasses. Well, the glasses, I'm far-sighted, so when I read, I often take my glasses off to read because I can actually see better without my glasses. So I often take them off, and I often forget where I left them, which is very often. And so I'll go looking for my glasses among Karen's six Costco glasses. And the problem is this, that my pair of glasses and those glasses look so much alike. So I'll inadvertently pick up one of her glasses, I'll put it on, and all I can see is this big blur. I cannot see anything clearly until I find the right one. You know, and I believe that's kind of the way it is with God's goodness. You gotta see, you gotta put on, you gotta find and put on the right lenses before you can actually see the goodness of God. And that's so true when it comes to the goodness of God. The Bible says that God is good all the time. So how's that true in my life? How's that true in your life? Focusing on God's goodness is so important to our lives. In fact, this is on your PowerPoint. The lack of focusing on God's goodness is a major cause of stress in life, in your life, in my life, and we're going to see that today. Secondly, there are negative consequences that happen when you forget how good that God really is. Here's the question. What happens when I forget that God is good? What happens when I forget about God's goodness? Well, I want to give you five negative consequences that can happen. And these are consequences that we can all avoid. Number one, are you ready? First one, when I forget about God's goodness, when I can't see God's goodness, I tend to become ungrateful. I become ungrateful for all the good things that God has done for me. Here's a question I'm going to ask you. Now, if I were to ask you, what is the worst sin that you could ever commit, what would you say? Some of you might say, well, it's probably got to be some sexual sin. Or maybe it's greed. Or maybe physical abuse. But nope, it's none of those. The number one sin is ingratitude. It's when I forget about the goodness of God, when I take for granted that God has been so good to me. Ingratitude and pride are sins that actually got Satan kicked out of heaven. So the Bible talks about this over and over again. It's a serious thing to God. So when I stop being grateful to God, that's when I get into trouble. And in the Bible, it talks about a king called, his name was Herod, and he lived in a time when Jesus was living on this earth. In Acts chapter 12, verse 21, it says, one day Herod put on his royal robes, and he sat on his throne, and he made a speech to the people. Now, evidently, it must have been a great speech, because it says here, they shouted, this is the voice of a God. It's the voice of a God. He's more than a human. Now, Herod is not humble. No, he's not grateful for the place that God has put him in, his position as a king. And what God is saying to him is this, you're not humble. You're full of ingratitude. See, God didn't take Herod's life because he was an immoral person. He didn't take his life because he was so greedy. But really what God was saying is, Herod, you're ungrateful. And you're setting yourself up by saying, I did this all by myself. See, we've got to realize this, that everything that you and I have in life is, you know, we owe it all to God. Literally everything. Our ability to work, our ability to earn money, to our ability to achieve, ability to accomplish. God gave us those abilities. And God is trying to say to us today, I want you to be grateful to me and to remember and to never forget how good a God I am. And that everything that you have in life, everything, your freedom, your family, your home, your house, everything that you have in life is because I give it to you. I gave it to you. In fact, you would not have it unless I gave it to you. God wants us to remember the source of our success. And that's what James chapter 1, verse 17 says. Every good and perfect gift comes from God. He's the source of every good thing. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7. What do you have that God has not given to you? The answer is nothing. Literally nothing. It all came from God. If all you have is from God, why do you act as though you're so great and as though you accomplished it all on your own? You know, God is a good God. The first thing that happens when I forget about God's goodness towards me is that I become ungrateful. Second, when I forget about God's goodness, I stop praying. I stop asking God for help. Over and over in the Bible, over 20 times in the New Testament, it tells us to ask. The Bible tells us to ask. Jesus said, Matthew 7, verse 7, ask and it shall be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened. The Bible says over and over again, you have not because you ask not. And you know, God wants us to ask. Ask for things, not just for the big things in life, even the small things. You notice that often when you can't sleep at night, it's not about big things, it's just little things, you know, just small things. And also, when you forget about God's goodness, this is what happens. Your prayers become weak, they become wimpy, you know, your prayers can be just rote. I mean, you're not even really praying about anything. You're just mouthing out the words. You're just going blah, 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 and you're not even asking. You're not asking for anything specific. You're just saying, oh, God, just bless me. And you're not pressing into God for anything specific, saying, God, I need money to pay that bill this week. Or God, I have a problem, a relational problem that I need your help with. God, can you please help me? See, that's what happens when you forget about the goodness of God. And the Bible says that we're to come to him like little children. Why? Why come like kids? Well, because kids trust. Kids go to the parents, they ask, and the parents give to them what is good for them. And that's kind of the same way it should be for you and I. That's the way that God wants to teach you and me to trust him. So you have an unmet need. You go to God and you express that need to him. And then God gives you that need. He meets that need. And what do? You learn to trust him more. And over and over and over again, he'll do that for you. You know, I notice that most times the answers to our prayers don't come immediately, do they? There's usually a waiting period. So the question is, why does that happen? Here's what I think, why. The why is because God wants to test our faith. He wants to build some patience and perseverance in us too as well. You know, it's really true. Delay is not denial. You know, I remember as a young believer, just received Christ, and one day I came home from work and I just had a splitting headache, had a migraine headache, and it was small group night. And I was really looking forward to meeting with my small group friends. So I got down on my knees, even before I took my work clothes off, I got down on my knees, just before my dresser, and I just bowed my head and I said, God, I really want to go to that meeting tonight. will you please take this migraine away? And I just lifted my head and immediately, instantly, that headache was gone. You know, it's not just the big things that we can pray for. We can pray for anything, even the small things. It was Rick Warren that said, if it's big enough to worry about, it's big enough to pray about. And worry won't solve it, but prayer will. Listen to what Jesus said in Luke's Gospel, chapter 11, verse 13. If you as imperfect parents know how to give good gifts, and there's that word again, the goodness of God. If you as imperfect parents know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Heavenly Father, who by the way is perfect, give good gifts to those who ask Him? Listen, you have not because you ask not. Number three, when you forget about the goodness of God, you stop trusting God in the difficult times of life. You know, if we were really, really more aware of God's goodness, then trusting God should be automatic, shouldn't it? You know, you wouldn't try to solve that problem yourself. You wouldn't try to work it out yourself. The first thing you would do is that you would go to God first. He'd be your first choice. He would not be your last resort. You know, even in the good, even in bad times, the Bible tells us that God is good. Romans 8, 28. And we know that in everything, not some things, not the bad things, we know that in everything, that God works for the good. Not for the good, not for the bad. For the good of those who love Him and who are called according to His purpose. Even when times are good, are tough, when times are hard, I know that God is good. And He's working it all out for me. And the reality is this, that not everything in life that is going to happen to us is going to be good. There's going to be a lot of bad that happens in our life. But listen, even when things are bad, God has the power and ability to take what is bad and He can turn it into good. And He can do that time after time after time for us. And that's what builds up our faith and our trust in Him. Number four, when you forget about the goodness of God, you become pessimistic about the future. You lose hope. You lose hope because hope is based on the goodness of God. And if God isn't good, then there's no hope. Psalm 27, verse 13. It was King David. It was David who said these words. I would have despaired. He said, I would have been in utter despair. I would have totally, like, almost given up. Unless I had believed that I'd see the goodness. And there it is again. The goodness of the Lord in where? In the land of the living. And he says, instead I thought, wait for the Lord. I don't see the answer right now, but I'm going to wait for the Lord. Be strong. Let your heart take courage. Yes, wait for the Lord. God has good plans for us. And that's what Jeremiah chapter 29 verse says. For I know the plans I have for you. I know the plans that I have for you, says the Lord, and they are good plans. He only has good plans for your life. And listen, you can miss those plans if you're not focused on the goodness of God. Number five, I'll give you just one more. If you're not focused on the goodness of God, if you forget about the goodness of God, you end up stop worshiping God. Psalm 34 verse 9 says, worship God if you want the best. Worship God if you want the best. Do you want the best in life? Then worship Him. Then praise Him. Then thank Him. Worship God if you want the best, because worship opens the doors. Opens the doors. Now read this with me. To all God's goodness. To all God's goodness. The way that you actually experience God's goodness is through worship. Worship opens the doors of God's goodness in your life. So, we're going to finish now by looking at Psalm 23. You know, Psalm 23 is known to be the most famous chapter in the Bible. And Psalm 23 lists 9 benefits of God's goodness to you. So, because of God's goodness, write these down. Number one, He will meet all my needs when I'm worried. Psalm 23, verse 1, the Lord is my shepherd. I will lack nothing. I will lack zip, zero. He meets all my needs when I am worried. Number two, He will teach me to relax when I'm stressed out. Verse 2, He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. Now this is a metaphor of peace and tranquility. Jesus Himself sought those quiet places. Luke chapter 5 verse 16 says, but often Jesus withdrew to quiet, to lonely places. What were the lonely places? They were quiet places. Times when you could connect with the Father on a daily basis. Times of refreshing, times of restoration, times of where he just was able to just be still and to be quiet with God. We could just release all his stress to God. He could tell him all his troubles and sorrows. And the Bible says, he makes me lie down. You know the question, has God ever had to make you lie down when you didn't have the sense to do it on your own? You know, did he have to make you lie down? I mean, you're working so hard. You're burning the candle up both ends. So he makes you lie down. See, he teaches you how to get relaxed and when you're all stressed out in life. Number three, third benefit, he will restore your strength when you're empty. Verse 2, he restores my soul. Listen, we are vessels. We get empty. We get drained out. So what do we need to do? We need to stop, pull over, and get refilled at God's filling station. Nehemiah chapter 8 verse 10 says, it's the joy of the Lord that is your strength. The joy of the Lord is my strength. And Romans 14, 17 says, the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and talking, eating and drinking, but of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. See, I've got resilience because he restores my soul. He fills me with his spirit. It's a spirit of joy. It's a spirit of peace. You know, it's a spirit of strength. I get resilience because he restores my soul. He fills me up when I am empty with his presence, with his peace, with his joy. We just got to pull over and just, when we're all tired, when we're all stressed out, we need to get right into the presence of God. No, that's the very first place we need to be, because that's where his spirit can restore us and renew our strength. You know, it's all about a life of abundance and blessing, but it's a life of work and it's a life of play. It's a life of work and rest. It's a life of balance. Number four, he will guide me when I'm confused. Nothing stresses people out more than indecision. You know, I've experienced that myself. When I can't decide about something, I'm in this negative space where I can't make a decision. That's the time when I really get confused and stressed out. Psalm 23 verse 3, he guides me in the paths, in the right paths, for his name's sake, because he is a good God. He will guide me when I'm confused. He'll guide me through my darkest times, my darkest hours, when I don't know which way to go. You know, he's not just with me, he's also in me. He's in me by the Holy Spirit. You know, the Bible also calls the Holy Spirit a paraclete, the Greek word paraclete, the one who walks beside me. You know, he'll never leave us. He's always with us. He's always inside of us. Number five, he will walk with me in my dark and fearful days. And the truth is that we're going to walk through some dark days ahead. You know, there may be fearful times ahead in your life, but he's going to be with you. He says in verse 4, David says in verse 4, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. You know, if God is with me, then it doesn't matter who's against you, right? And he wants to give you this assurance, I will be with you. Number 6, he will protect me when I feel insecure. He will protect me when I feel insecure. Today, there is so much insecurity, so much fear and anxiety. And there are so many voices out there speaking to us. There are negative voices, there are bad voices, and there are also good voices speaking to us. Today there are literally thousands of podcasts, of sermons by good preachers, popular preachers, highly gifted preachers that we can listen to. And these things can really help us, and we can listen to them all day long. But listen, you know, it's been known, and I believe this is fact, that you can listen to a great sermon and a great message, and within 24 hours, you forget 90% of it. You know, and I said that to say this. It's time to spend time in God's Word, in God's presence, reading His Word, memorizing His Word, you know, and meditating on His Word. And when we do that, God promises that His Word will be written on our hearts. He'll literally embed, he'll burn that word in our spirit when we read it and we memorize it and we practice that word. You know, and we won't just and forget it immediately. John 10 verse 27. Jesus said, "My sheep listen to my voice. My sheep listen to my voice." You know, everybody else's voice is just an echo. We need to hear His voice. In those times of trial and trouble, I want to hear His voice. I don't want to hear anybody else's voice because they're not going to be there to help me. But I want to hear His voice. Everybody else's voice is an echo. My sheep listen to my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Psalm 27 verse 4, David said, "Your rod and your staff, they come from me." The rod and the staff were weapons. They were available for the benefit of the sheep. The rod is a weapon to strike the predators. If a wolf came along, the shepherd would strike the wolf on the head with that weapon. And the staff was used to guide the sheep, to catch. There's a crook in that staff, so it was to guide the sheep, to keep it in the fold, to protect the fold. And what David is really talking about here is really about the Word of God. It's about the power of the Scriptures. And He will protect me when I feel insecure. We can go to the Scriptures and we can find God's assurance. Number 7, He will publicly show His favor on my life. You know, favor is just another term for goodness. Favor is another term for God's goodness. And as a child of God, you have the Father's favor. You have family favor. Favor means that you have special privileges that nobody else have. Right? And on your PowerPoint, the favor of God is like the smile of God on your life. You know, His favor is like a smile. It's like God's smiling down. You know, like the Father's looking down at His children with pride and with love. You know, and there's another thing that His favor does. His favor also protects us. Psalm 5 verse 12. "Surely, Lord, You bless the righteous. You surround them with Your favor as a shield." God's favor is the protection and the shield around us. God says, "I will publicly show My favor on your life, even when everybody is against you, even when everybody is criticizing you. My favor is on you. I will show My favor on you." Psalm 23 verse 5. "You prepare a banquet for me in front of all my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows." And He says, "I'm not just going to meet your needs. I'm going to make your cup overflow. You're going to have a life of abundance. It's going to overflow in your life if you will trust me." He wants to give you a life of influence. He wants to give you a life of abundance so that your cup overflows. And He wants to give your life of give you a life of benefit, of benevolence, of mercy and grace just overflowing in your life. And number 8, He will be good to you no matter what happens. You know, I don't know what's going to happen in my life, and I don't know what's going to happen in your life, but this I know for sure. Verse 6, "Surely goodness," and there's that word, goodness, "surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life." You know, I can handle anything. If God's mercy and grace are with me, I can handle anything. Other people may not be good to you in the future, but God will be good to you. You can always count on the consistency of His benevolence towards you. He will be good to you no matter what happens in your life. Number 9, He will take me to heaven one day. He will take me to heaven one day. Verse 6, David said, "I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." His goodness follows us all the way to eternity. "I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." 9 tremendous benefits that's listed here in Psalm 23. So where do you get all those benefits? Where do you get them? And the answer is from the Lord. And who is the Lord? It's Jesus. And who is Jesus? He's our shepherd. He is the good shepherd. John 10 verse 10. "My purpose in life, my purpose is to give life. My purpose is to give life in all its fullness. I am the good shepherd." I am the good shepherd. He said, "I'm the good shepherd," and there's no doubt about it. I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. You know, all these benefits are available to you, not because you are good, but only because God is good. Jesus Christ. Christ came to earth and he died on the cross to pay for all these great benefits for you. You know, when God sent his son, Jesus Messiah, to die on the cross for your sins, it was the greatest, it was the ultimate act of God's goodness towards you and me. His expression of goodness. Amen. Would you agree with that? Let's bow our heads. I want to just pray a prayer for you. God, you are so good. You are so good. Sometimes, God, we forget your goodness and we stop asking for help. You told us to come boldly and to expect you to answer out of your goodness. And Lord, I want this life that's outlined in Psalm 23, a life of strength and balance, guidance, confidence, influence, abundance, benevolence, inheritance. And I know this life is available, not because of my goodness, but only because of your goodness and your mercy. Lord Jesus, thank you for paying for all of these good things with your life. Thank you for being my good shepherd. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. Now, there may be someone listening today and you've never crossed that line. You've never invited Christ into your heart. And today I want to give you that opportunity. I want you to pray this very simple prayer. But I promise you, this prayer will change your life forever and into eternity. It would be the greatest prayer, just some simple words that you can sincerely say to God right now. So let's bow your heads. I want to lead you into this prayer. Will you say after me, Lord Jesus Christ, thank you for dying on the cross and paying for my sins through the shedding of your blood. Jesus, I'm ready for a new life. I'm ready to invite you into my heart to be Lord and Savior of my life. Father, I give you my life. I surrender. Be Lord and Savior forever in my life. In Jesus' name I ask and pray. Amen and amen. Now, if you said that prayer, could you please phone the number that's on the screen? That's our church line. I want you to know that you have someone that wants to hear what you did. We want to help you in your next faith step with God. That decision you made is so good. I say welcome to the kingdom of God. Welcome to the family of God. And I want to say thank you, church family, for watching this message. Thank you for everyone for watching. And today I would just want to leave with a blessing on your life. So let me just pray for you right now, see, and just bless you. Father, in Jesus' name, I pray for everyone that's watching today. God, may you prosper them. May you bless them. Prosper them and cause them to be in good health, even as their soul prospers. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. Thank you for joining us. Looking forward to seeing you next week. God bless you.